Ed and Rizan Ferrelli on 2FM
with Virgin Mobile. Go from scrolling through stories to creating your own. Freedom is calling. Virgin Mobile. Bring on amazing.
Well, the man here to tell me something good is Brian Penny. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning, Jen.
How are you?
Really good. Really good.
Let me ask a listener. Have you guys ever felt, oh God, I can't go in there and deal with that crap today. I can't deal with that certain type of person. They just drive me insane. People who trigger you. Is that what we're talking about today?
That's what we're talking about today. Yeah.
Okay. So what? When you have someone like that in your life, whether it's in work or at home, whatever, what is the simplest approach?
Right, and it's not just in work and at home. Like, it's, we get triggered in so many areas. Like, our kids can trigger us. Our kids do trigger us. Like, so it's kids, it's friends, it's people in general. And I often think there's a big aspect of this we need to think about. What we can control and what we can't control. Us being triggered, we can control. What other people do to trigger us, we can't control. And we're not looking to control all of those things. So one of the things, you're talking about the word trigger, it's stop pulling the trigger. And it seems so simple.
When you say it like that, you make it sound like we have control over this.
Well, I think we do. And this is the thing, like, obviously, when I say stop pulling the trigger, it can seem a bit rootless, but you could eliminate certain people from your life. So if you have friends that trigger you on an ongoing basis and aren't serving you, well, maybe you have to review that and look at, do they serve you? Is it good to have them in your life? But obviously with your kids, you can't like neutralize your kids. You can't stop pulling the trigger there. But if you can stop pulling the trigger with people, that is one of the biggest things you can do. But it can also be context specific. So you can have people in your life that tend to trigger you in certain environments or on certain topics. So maybe it's eliminating those areas of your life or those people in those contexts. Like, imagine you had someone in your life, a friend in your life that gets a few drinks in them, and then they trigger you by talking about certain things. Mm-hmm. Well, stop pulling the trigger. Don't go drinking with that person. You can still be their friend, but change the context so they don't trigger you in that specific arena.
Now, when we talk about trigger, that could be a whole range of emotions. It trigger you to make you feel sad or trigger you to make you feel angry. Now, the anger one is probably, I would find, the most difficult one. You said kids there. Just for example, if your kid is triggering you and triggering you to lose your temper.
Yes.
How do you initiate that and stop that from happening?
Right. So lots of different things here. I mean, we often talk about setting boundaries. That is really critical. And like something that, like, I have a great relationship with my dad, but we used to argue a lot. So we used to argue. He likes talking about politics, and we argued over that. So we set a boundary, or I set a boundary, I should say, that I don't talk about politics in that room. So we're setting that, so we didn't engage in those behaviours. But for kids as well, like, we set boundaries with kids all the time. Like, we say, that is not acceptable. You can't do that. You can't bite your sister. Yeah. Like, that is, if that triggers you. So that's something there as well. But when it comes to kids, one of the things that I love to do, it's probably one of the most important tools that I've implemented in my own life, it's using the challenge, the trigger, as fuel for growth. And I want to do a little thought experiment, a little experiential exercise with you as well here, Jen. But when I'm talking about using a challenge as fuel for growth, it's like practice. Like, let's say it's somebody that is really talks about challenge and stuff all the time, but maybe practice empathy. Maybe they are really struggling. So you're practicing a really important human skill of empathy in that situation. And when you stand in someone else's shoes, it's very hard not to be empathetic. And all of a sudden you get away from being triggered with anger. You say, well, maybe they're going through difficult times, and kindness and compassion kicks in. But there's lots of different things. Like, you could practice non-reactivity. You could practice compassion, which are kids. You could practice patience and tolerance. But there's this idea, like, when we get triggered and we react with anger or sadness, whatever that is, I don't want to say it's a fragile response, but it's not your optimal response. You don't want to be doing that. It's not the response you want. And there was a lovely concept I heard a while ago called anti-fragile.
Yeah, what's that?
So this is like the opposite of being fragile. It's using adversity as fuel for growth. And there's a lovely example of this, the mythical creature called Hydra. So it's a mythical creature. It's a snake with multiple heads. And when you chop off one head, two heads grow back. So it literally gets stronger the more it's challenged, or the more adversity that it feels. So I utilize this sort of anti-fragile visualization technique, which is really, really powerful. So imagine, think of something yourself, Jen, and for the listeners at home, think of something that challenges you or triggers you on an ongoing basis. Mm-hmm. All right. So you have a regular response to this that you're not best pleased with. You would rather change that response. So for some people, it would be kids and you just react with anger. For some people, for myself, it was relationships with usually people that I love and I get defensive and I don't want to. So ask yourself, you have your fragile response, let's call it, and that's what you usually do. So you have a little mental video of mm-hmm. that response, all right? Yeah. So take out that mental video, edit that video with your optimal response, your anti-fragile response. Now, maybe it's taking 3 breaths. Maybe it's practicing empathy. With kids, it could be the 3 breaths is great just to calm that nervous system. So what would your optimal self response be, your anti-fragile response that you would prefer to do in that situation? So edit the video. So you have a new video with your best self response, the anti-fragile response. And now you have a little visualization in your head of how you want to operate in the world. So you can rehearse that on an ongoing basis. Like all of the athletes, many of the best athletes in the world use visualization techniques to visualize what they're going to do for good reason. They're practicing what they want to do and how they'll respond in that situation. So now we have that mental video. Replay that multiple times in your head, especially if you think you're going to get triggered soon in that environment. And when the challenging situation arises, you'll find yourself just leaning into that anti-fragile response, and it's so much easier. It's really, really powerful, powerful technique.
I like the fact that you said the chat with the dad would trigger you. I had a family gathering last night. I think once we get into, and we say it all the time, and it's a saying, you should never talk politics or religion around the dinner table. And that is so, so true. But I think with families, you think there's fewer boundaries because you're family and you just get over things and you argue and all this kind of thing. So it's interesting to say that maybe if you make a conscious decision to say, maybe let's not talk about religion or that person or politics, that will change the whole outcome of what was about to unfold.
Yeah, and it's the simple things. I often find people are looking for these magic wands that they've never heard of. Mm. But it's the simple things. Like, this causes triggering situations all the time. Let's not talk about this. Like, it is actually that simple when you think about it.
And it's nice to hear that we have control over that.
Big time.
You know what I mean? Always a pleasure to have you. Tell me, do you have a podcast now? What's going on? You have to tell me about your podcast.
I do indeed, Jen. And this really ties into what we're talking about today. So one of the big things, like, we're talking about people that trigger us. But what's the opposite of that? People that lift you higher. Like, it's really important to be less reactive in situations. If you're spending a lot more time about people that are going to be, you'll feel positive around, are going to boost you, the opposite of triggering. That's a really, really, really good thing and a powerful way to build up that resilience. So our podcast, myself and Neil O'Murricu, breathing expert, Wim Hof expertise, phenomenal. So me and Neil met at Georgie Crawford's Good Glow event back in May. And we chat for 5 minutes. We knew we vibed with each other. We were like, we didn't trigger each other. We were the opposite of that. We wanted to have a conversation. We arranged a coffee, had a 3-hour chat that just flew in. And we says, God, we'd love to share this conversation because I wanted to hear that conversation again. And Neil was thinking the exact same thing. So the third time we ever met, we created our podcast called Finding the Others. It's like finding your tribe, find the people that you vibe with. So we released that. It's on the fifth episode now. We're going to be recording season 2 pretty soon as well. So it's about finding the others, finding the people that vibe with you. But we talk about breathing techniques, we talk about ancient wisdom, we talk about awareness, we talk about finding balance in your life, all of the good stuff.
I had a Wim Hof expert in a couple of weeks ago and I was fascinated by the technique, and he was advising us to turn the heat down and have cold showers. Are you one of those? Would you have a cold shower now, Brian? Are you on that bandwagon?
So I've been finding myself little excuses here, there and everywhere. So I have Raynaud's disease. I get the tips of my fingers go a bit white. That was my first excuse, but I'm gonna push through that. My other excuse is I usually get a shower in the gym and it's not cold, it's just automatically hot. So I am doing, Neil has invited me in January to go down for an ice bath breathing technique thing.
You're not even going to start with the showers. You're going to straight into the ice bath.
Yeah. So I'll let you know how that goes.
Let us know how that goes. So go and check out Brian's podcast. Also, Brian will be back next month to tell us how we can get through Christmas without being treated like a doormat. And I can't wait for that.
Jennifer Zaffarelli. Weekday morning from 9 on 2FM.